My name is Jennifer Vogel. I'm 39. It is September 9th, 2018. And we're at the Annenberg Space for Photography in Los Angeles, California. And I am here with my wife.
And my name is Amy Vogel. And I am 41 years old. And the date is still the same. The location is still the same.
You're 41 years young.
That's right. That's what I meant to say. I'm 41 years young.
And we're joined by our 2-year-old daughter, Ava, who is on the floor eating cheesy popcorn.
Yep.
Today we wanted to talk about how we met each other. So do you want to start?
Sure. Where should I begin? I mean, should I start with...
Well, the internet was involved.
The internet was involved. I saw Jennifer's profile on one of the more popular dating sites. And started to message her, and messaged back and forth for quite a while. During that period, she went to France with another lady.
That's an unimportant part of the
story. I'm sorry, that was unimportant.
But ultimately, we found out that we lived 5 blocks away and had been going to all the same concerts and grocery stores and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. But it took the internet for us to find each other 5 blocks from each other.
Which is ridiculous.
Yes.
So then we finally met each other and had some ice cream on your porch and talked to the wee hours of the morning. But then what happened the next day? Tell us about that.
Right. Well, speaking of frozen items, while we were eating ice cream on the porch, there was a cryo tank in my dining room holding donor sperm.
Which I never noticed.
Well, sure, it wasn't obvious.
You don't look for those things on a first date, really.
Yeah, right. Although you should have been a little more observant. I mean, it could have been anything.
Oh, boy. So the very next day.
Yes, the next morning, I woke up early. I drove over to the hospital in Hollywood and was inseminated.
So tell us about your plan. What was... You were single.
I was single.
And you were going to do this on your own.
Yeah, I had decided months prior that I couldn't wait any longer for someone to come along. I really wanted to start a family. And I felt the ticking of the clock. And so I just started to pursue it myself. And at first it started just as exploration. Maybe I should just go get checked out. See if things even work. See if it's even possible for me. And then that quickly progressed into insemination. I mean, I don't know how else to phrase it. I just, you know, yes, the test came back, okay, your egg reserve is low. If you want to do this, you should do it soon. Here's how you do it. Here, let me put you on fertility medication. Let's start inseminating you. It just all flowed.
So at the same time that you were on dating sites, making decisions about, you know, someone's profile and what they look like and what they're interested in, you were also on donor sites making those same decisions.
Exactly. And they're very similar, those sites. You get a lot of the same kind of information. Height, weight, GPA, things like that.
So I didn't know that that was happening. And a week later, when we went on our second date, you told me about it.
Sure. I mean, because it came up as a topic of conversation in general.
And I was not expecting that.
How did that make you feel?
I think I was a little nervous. I always imagined that I would be the one to have a baby. And it was just an assumption that I had since I was little, when I thought I would have a family. I just thought I would be the one to have that family, or to give birth to that family.
To bear the family.
To bear those children. So I just assumed that's what would happen, and I guess it was a new relationship, and I was just surprised by that information. I didn't know what to do with that. And my initial reaction was to say, we should just be friends. But you're just too charming.
Thank you. Well, I felt surprised having to give that information so quickly, especially because it wasn't necessarily in the front of my mind because I'd already done two rounds prior, and the first one hadn't worked, and the second one had to be abandoned because I had too many viable eggs, and I was going to be the next Octomom if I got pregnant. So I just, in my mind, it was like, whatever, third try. This is the last vial of sperm that I have. Probably isn't going
to
work.
And that's how it was presented to me, that this probably isn't going to work. So you don't even need to worry about it. Let's just keep dating.
Right, right.
So we did.
I mean, I thought that was true.
And then we found out two weeks later, mm-hmm. After we had spent an enormous amount of time together, we found out that, in fact, you were pregnant.
That's right. Yeah.
It really felt like I had knocked you up on the first date.
That's right. That's right. I think you had.
Which is surprising because, I mean, if we're recording for posterity, I need everyone to know that we didn't get intimate.
Oh, right. Yes, right. Of course, a lady can do whatever she wants, but we didn't.
But yet, I felt like I had knocked you up. And what was so shocking to me was that a month before, I was saying to a friend of mine, you know, you spend so much time hearing about how you shouldn't get pregnant, especially as a teenager. Your parents keep telling you, you know, all the reasons not to have sex and you shouldn't get pregnant, blah, blah, blah. So this is something in your mind for so long. And then when you're dating women, like, that's actually not ever going to happen. You're not ever going to knock someone up. None of that is going to, like, accidentally happen. And I was speaking to this friend who actually did knock someone up, and they have a wonderful, lovely family now. And so I was kind of saying, that's kind of a special surprise that I'll actually never participate in. How funny. And then it felt like all of a sudden I was participating in this thing. Our 2-year-old is on the floor putting popcorn all over the studio right now.
Yeah, that's what she's doing.
So we decided to move in together.
Yeah, very quickly after that. I mean, I think it was, we went from both being in a little bit of shock to quickly moving forward with it.
Well, again, you're so charming.
Thank you.
You can't be resisted.
I mean, I feel the same about you.
Thank you. So we immediately moved in together, and I went through the process of letting go of the idea that I would be the one to give birth,
and I was processing, oh, I'm not doing this by myself. I you know, I had all these images that I had created in my mind of how this would go and what it would be like because I was by myself, and now I wasn't by myself. There was someone else there to share this with, and it was a little bit. It was a mixed feeling, I think, at the beginning. It was, oh, thank God, there's somebody here. Like, I don't have to do this by myself. But also, oh, I thought I would be doing this by myself. This isn't going how I pictured it. I have to adjust. I have to adjust my expectations.
I think we both had to abandon some expectations, definitely. Yeah. But definitely for the better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine.
And now we have this brilliant and fabulous 2-year-old.
We do.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Although you skipped ahead a lot.
Please go back.
Well, you had just said that we'd moved in together.
Oh.
And so at the time, we were both working.
Yes.
Right? We both had jobs, generally full-time jobs, doing our respective trades.
So you work for NASA, okay. JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is part of NASA.
Right.
As a software engineer. And you've been there for 19 years.
That's true. And you were working for a small company that made bags and backpacks.
Yes, I was running a startup.
Running the startup. And we were making our way through this pregnancy when your startup...
Yeah, I got laid off for a variety of frustrating reasons.
Yes.
I got laid off and all of a sudden found myself in a position that so many moms we know are in, where they need to change jobs during a pregnancy.
Right.
Although I wasn't the one that was pregnant.
Yeah.
So that was a really weird position to be in, because how do you find a new job and then immediately ask for time off? I mean, it's obvious when you're physically going to give birth, clearly you're going to need time off. But then how do you ask as the other parent?
I think it should be obvious as the other parent. It's unfortunate that for many it doesn't feel obvious that the other parent should also be taking time off.
Right.
A lot of time.
I guess I was in kind of a dad position of, like, you know, you want to go out and get another job, but you also know that this big thing is coming up, and how are you going to deal with that at a new job, because that can be so hard.
Right.
So I ended up staying home.
That's right. So how did that feel, going from, you know, ambitious, very career-driven, because you'd done a lot in your career up to that point, a lot of resume building, shall we say, and pushing and trying to get to the next level and the next level and really focused on that. How did it feel going from that to saying, oh, I'm going to pause my resume and work on this totally different project?
That was also a bit of a shock to me, because even though I had always thought that I would be the one to bear the children, I never thought I'd be the one to stay home. I don't know what my plan was there. I just thought maybe I'd have a nanny or daycare or something like that, because I was so career-oriented and always worked long hours and worked on vacations and was just very career-focused. So that was a big shock. It felt, again, like letting go of expectations and grieving an identity that I felt I was losing, but really, I think I was just pausing it and allowing myself to change more slowly. But it didn't feel like that at the time. It felt like grieving something.
Right. And you were laid off about 5 months before Ava was born.
That's right.
So now it's been those 5 months plus 2.25 years.
Yeah.
That you have been home. Does it still feel like a pause? What does it feel like now?
Now it feels like a meditation retreat, which
but
sounds
not a silent one.
Yeah, not a silent one. I was about to say, which sounds really relaxing. But if you've ever been to a meditation retreat, it's extremely challenging to find patience. So right now it feels like all that future planning that I had done before is completely abandoned. I don't future plan the way I used to, because you have to be so in the moment to manage a small child and to make them happy and to keep your own sanity. You have to really be, you really have to be in the moment.
That's true. It's true. I'm a little in the moment right now with her.
Is she talking about poo?
Yeah, she's unrolling a roll of doggy bags and saying, that poo.
This is her new favorite thing to do.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was a big shift, but now I feel, I feel okay about it. I think one of the biggest challenges shifting this identity and staying home was sometimes it felt like abandoning feminist principles, where I felt like my responsibility to the feminist cause and to my mom, I think, was to stay home. Was to stay at work, mm-hmm. was to always work, and staying home was abandoning those principles, giving in to gender norms, and conforming in a way that so many women before me had been fighting against. So I felt like maybe I was going to be a disappointment in some way.
To yourself or to others?
Both. That by staying home and having kind of a homemaker role, which I just hate that word. I hate stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm, I hate all those labels. But to be someone who does that was to maybe work against a feminist cause, and because it felt like I was staying within a gender norm, which is funny because that's that's not necessarily the case because I'm not married to a man.
You weren't staying home for the patriarchy.
I wasn't.
Supporting the patriarchy.
So I have to remind myself every day that I'm still fighting the patriarchy, but it's by training a new feminist, and that, you know, we're staying home for different reasons. I'm staying home for different reasons than I would have if I lived 50 years ago or 100 years ago.
Right. Tell me why you are staying home now. So I remember originally the plan was you would stay home as long as I did when I was on leave, and then you would start to look for something new and get back into work. But then my leave was sort of up, and I was going back to work, and you were still very focused on Ava and staying home. And then we thought, okay, well, the first year maybe, and then you'll start to look, and we'll find something for Ava to do.
Right.
But that passed.
I think our values as a family became more clear, and we talked about them more and more, and they kind of became more solidified between both of us as we saw what the daycare options were or the nanny options and the cost of all those things. We started really seeing the value of spending time with her as she was growing up. And you started staying home, not staying home, but working from home as much as possible.
Yeah, immediately I started half-time working from home.
So we both started spending more time with her, more time as a family, and discussing that more and more. And I think we found our values through living like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it became solidified for us as a family that it was important for us to spend as much time with her as possible. And we both wanted a family for so long that to then have that family and go away to work seemed crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
then what do you see moving forward? Do you see homeschooling her? Do you see staying home indefinitely with her? Or do you see...
She'll live with us forever.
Forever.
No. I imagine that as she's able to talk and tell us if something's wrong, that she'll go to preschool and she'll go to school, and as long as they're safe places where people don't have guns and teachers don't have guns and so on, that she'll enjoy that social experience. I loved school growing up. So I expect that she'll go, and I expect that I'll go back to work.
And what do you see when you go back to work, what do you see for yourself? Because, as you mentioned before, you were very work-oriented. You'd work during your own vacations. You would work extra hours all the time. You were always at work or working, even if you were at home. So how do you see that in the future, going back to work?
I don't do the future thinking anymore. I'm so much more in the moment. So I don't know what it looks like. But I know that the old way is not going to work. I can't be that career focused, and I don't want to be. I love working hard and enjoying my job, but I've learned a balance that I can't let go of. I also spent a lot of time working for really sexist, misogynistic workplaces and people, and I could never go back to that situation.
Yeah.
How has it been for you working?
There are times that it's been really hard. I feel like I miss things. Even though I'm at home 2 days a week, working from home, I still feel like I miss a lot. And I feel like, especially as she gets older, I want to go back in time to how she was before, but I can't. And I feel like, oh, I miss so much. But I don't think that I actually have missed that much. I think I've been there for a lot of it. For some reason, I still feel that nagging sometimes when I'm at work.
You've missed poopy diapers.
I know. It's really upsetting. I've missed more than poopy diapers, but... But it's also been good that, you know, I think whatever drive you had rubbed off a little on me, and I got a little more driven at work and started pursuing more responsibility and pushing more for my career goals, and so
And yeah. You work in a notoriously sexist industry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The old boys club is going strong in
both at aerospace. NASA, yeah, and just within software.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And the technology industry.
Right, yes. And sometimes that makes me want to just say, I'm going to go home and be with my wife and child now. But, of course, that doesn't make sense. So I have to stay and fight the patriarchy.
You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you. I'm trying. I really am. So it's been a mix. I do like that I have the ability to balance out work and life right now, and I want to make sure that that stays true, you know, forever until I retire. Even more so now than before, since you and Ava are around, really makes a big difference about how much I want to push for keeping that balance and not getting sucked into working overtime or being at work more than I am, you know, having to work all my days on lab and none of my days at home.
Yeah. How do you feel like you fight the patriarchy now? How do you feel you embody feminist ideals as you move through your workday or your personal life?
I do what I can while I'm at work. I don't know. I feel like, especially over the last few years, I've really pushed for more diversity within my own small, you know, organization at this big place called JPL. Just within my small organization, and I've been doing what I can to pull other women up with me. If I'm moving up, I'm trying to pull them up with me. I don't know what.
I think you also do a really good job of calling out sexism when you see it.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Not only from the upper echelons, which sometimes is harder to make waves about, but also within your immediate circle of people and your peer group, which can also be hard to call out your peers. But I think you've done an excellent job of keeping things light and humorous, but also calling out some pretty major sexism.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I try not to, I don't know, you don't want to be that angry person at the lunch table every day.
Oh, come on, I've made you a feminist killjoy by now. It's one of my crowning achievements.
I will say there are several people at the table now who really watch what they say, and once they've said it, they're like, oh, God, was that heteronormative? Did I say something heteronormative? Oh, Amy, can you tell me? Did I say something?
I think that's our most used word at home.
Heteronormative, sure. Yeah, that great. And patriarchy, I think. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I really love watching you come into your own in work and seeing your ambition grow and your confidence and ability to speak out about both the technology but also and your actual job and all of that, but also things that come up like misogyny. I think you've done a really good job growing. It's been really nice to see.
Thank you. It's been fun growing. should we wrap this up? Should we?
I think we can wrap this up.
Did we cover it all? I mean, obviously we didn't cover it all. There's so much, but
there's so much. Is there anything else you want to say about being a family or becoming a family?
I don't know. I mean, the only things I can come up with sound so cliche in my head, but it's
they could be charming.
It's been more than I ever thought it was going to be. It's just the most amazing thing. It's that I don't know how I lived before this. I don't know how I lived before you, and I don't know how I lived before Ava. It's just, I can't even picture it anymore. I just don't know what it was, and it wasn't that long ago.
That's true, yeah.
How did I do that?
I don't know. I can't remember my life before you guys either. It's really been the most magical experience and so unconventional.
Yeah.
Not what I ever expected or what anyone would have expected from me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone would have expected that from you either. Not, I think people were surprised when you said, you know, I'm going to do this by myself. I think your family was a little shocked.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of your friends were shocked. And people tried to talk you out of it.
There were a few, yeah.
So you really made a bold choice for yourself and completely unconventional. And I think it turned out completely magically.
It did. It really did. Not at all how I thought it would, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is really great. Ava, did you want to say anything to close this up? Do you want to say something about a pee pee or a poo?
Here, talk right in there.
What did you want to say, Ava?
Who's that?
Did you go pee pee earlier?
Who's that? Is that mommy?
Yeah.
Who's that? Mommy.
Yeah. Who's this?
Mama.
Yeah. Who is it?
Mama.
That's right. Yeah. Who's that? That's Ava. All right.
All right. Good job, family.
Yay.
Yay.